meeting. I think we are correcting according to the attendance that is here. Ndade Boltina, let's begin our meeting. Do we have apologies?
Yes, good morning, Chair, and good morning, Honorable Members. Chair, the apologies I have here are two. One is from Honorable Gallo and Honorable April Chairperson.
Yes.
Those are the only two apologies I have in front of me as of now.
Yes.
Yes,
Hi.
Comrade Mieni has also attended an apology.
Oh, Comrade Mieni. Ndade Mieni.
Yes, Chair.
Okay, that's okay.
Thanks.
I know that Boltina that the agenda was circulated, but you can just read it formally into the record.
There is the agenda, Chairperson. I'm not sure. Can members see it?
Yes, read it formally into the record.
Oh, okay, Chairperson. The item on the agenda, today we will have a briefing by the Department of Tourism on the annual performance plan for 2021-2022 to 2023 to 2024, Chairperson. And then thereafter, we will have an engagement with the department and then formulate a way forward in preparation for our report of the budget vote, Chair. And then thereafter, Chair, the next item, we also want to table to the committee the draft reports of the committee that the committee has finalized them. We want us to table them and then we will propose that in the meeting of the 11th, then we can adopt those reports. And then thereafter, we have the draft minutes of the committee, and also we look at the program of the committee, Chairperson, for this term. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Ntate Boltina. Honorable members, can we have a mover to formally adopt the agenda?
Chairperson Melina Gomba formally adopts the agenda of the meeting. Thank you.
Thanks, House Melina. Do we have a second, honorable members?
Honorable Chair, Honorable Makubela Mashele seconds the move to adopt the agenda.
Thank you very much, Honorable Makubela, for seconding the adoption of the agenda. The agenda is now adopted, honorable members. We welcome the collective of the Department of Tourism, led by our minister, Ousmane Moloko. Included in the team from the department, it is the deputy minister, Ntate Mahlalela. We also want to welcome members of the collective of the Portfolio Committee on Tourism, the technical staff of the Portfolio Committee, and the technical staff that comes from the department. Let's also take this opportunity in case there are South Africans who are following the proceedings of this particular portfolio committee on various platforms. You are welcomed, South Africans, and we are pleased to have you listening to the proceedings of Parliament with special focus today on the Portfolio Committee on Tourism, which does oversight on the Department of Tourism, including the relevant entities. Honorable members, we are not out of the woods yet. Actually, indications and developments in India are such that if we do not become more vigilant, if we do not adhere to the basics of making sure that the coronavirus is not spread, we are likely in South Africa to go into what is characterized as the possibility of a third wave. But scientists have indicated to us that the reason why we have been able to make it so far to be where we are percentage-wise in terms of people who have contracted the virus is because of the necessary education around how ourselves as society we must behave in as far as environments that we live in are concerned, in as far as the conscious efforts that we take as individuals to make sure that we evade this COVID-19 virus. We all know that it has affected various sectors of the economy, but we are the worst hard hit as the tourism sector. A little bit of some activities have started to take place based on the decisions that have been taken to now put us at level one. We hope that none of the actions that we'll take, either individually or collectively, will result in the exacerbation and the degeneration of the situation, which may result in government having no option but again to put in place additional measures to control the situation. We know, Honorable Minister, that you've been doing a lot of work yourself, including the entities, including individuals and enterprises within the tourism sector, to make sure that we are able to recover. So part of the effort today, when we get this report, we will know that going forward, everything we will be doing will be in that context of the risk that is embedded within the virus itself and a bit of disruption that was inevitable in as far as implementing some of the objectives we have set ourselves as the tourism sector, in particular as the department is concerned. So we welcome you, and we are now going to give over to you, our Honorable Minister, to lead the team in doing the presentation, after which there will be engagement and a way forward.
Good morning, colleagues, honorable members. Thank you very much, Chairperson. The discussion today will be led by the Deputy Minister. In terms of the presentation, I will come in later. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much, Minister, and good morning, Chair, and the members and the staff. As you have indicated, Chair, we are presenting this annual performance plan under the tourism operating environment that has fundamentally changed because of the severe disruption by the pandemic. International demand has been disrupted and is likely to continue like this, as you have alluded, the trend that we are just observing in India. Domestic demand is under very strenuous, operating under very strenuous conditions due to the impact that the pandemic has imposed in terms of a disposable income. We're still operating under a future that is very uncertain because of the pandemic. What we were presenting this annual report under that condition and circumstances. I mean, annual performance plan. And therefore, we want to indicate that some of the issues that we are implementing is trying to respond to the challenge that we've confronted. The plan is premised from the economic recovery and reconstruction and recovery plan as agreed upon and adopted both by government and also adopted by Parliament as it was presented by the President last year. The subsequent arising from the economic reconstruction and recovery plan, we then developed the tourism recovery sector a plan, of which this annual performance plan is premise is from the tourism sector recovery. This plan was developed in consultation and working together with the stakeholders. It's a collaborative effort of all the stakeholders, including provinces, who were engaged to make an input. And finally, the plan was then agreed and adopted by cabinet. The plan, as we've indicated, this is premised from the economic reconstruction and recovery plan. Because the tourism sector is prioritized as part of this ERRP, of which one of the issues that are reflected in that plan is tourism recovery and growth. But beyond that, we have got what the ERRP prioritized, which is infrastructure, of which tourism has got a huge role to contribute on infrastructure as well. The green economy, which we're also going to have the plan does make a contribution on the green economy from a tourism perspective. And the mass employment, which is a stimulus employment package, presidential stimulus package, which is mass employment, which the tourism sector through the EPWP will be able to, and working for tourism, will be able to make a contribution towards a mass employment. And more importantly, the skills development, which is part of the plan that we're going to make a contribution towards development of the skills in the sector and make a contribution towards skilling our people. And more important is the issue of gender, the beneficiations of women, people with disability, as well as those products that are based in the townships and in the rural areas, as part of a process of making sure that we create an inclusive a growth in the sector and make sure that this beneficiations of the general populations of South Africa. We are currently, as a sector, working towards making sure that we, as we presented to the committee, our work is underway to review the tourism policy. That will culminate in the development of the new policy framework that will deliver efficient, effective, and purpose-led support for the sector growth and development. We are in the process, the minister is appointed an advisory team, which is in the process of reviewing the white paper and other pieces of legislation so that we ensure that recent developments are taken into consideration. There are some of the issues that, for example, the committee has been raising around grading and all other related matters. And those are issues that is part of the review process, of which once the review is concluded, it will be able to then give us a direction as to what posture, a policy position are we taking in relation to some of the areas that we want to take it forward as part of the developmental agenda that the tourism sector is engaging upon. So this is basically broadly what then the sector, the tourism recovery sector plan is based on three pillars, of which those pillars will then have got a is divided into seven sectors, which sectors then contribute towards how then do we reignite the tourism sector, how do we create supply demands, and make sure that at the end we revive the sector and make it come back to where it was before the COVID-19. So we are working with various sectors and departments. We are also engaged on the infrastructure development, especially in our parks, so that we make sure that our products are able to be ready when when the international market is opened, there is a drive that the minister is engaging upon on the domestic activations, which is aimed at mobilizing the domestic market as a key pillar for the tourism sector, so that by the time the international market is fully opened, they then were able to make sure that they find the sector up and running and in a process of making sure that it provides the necessary service that the international market will require. So, General, this is the input I can make, Minister. Thank you very much.
Thank you, PM. Good morning, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members, Minister, DM and the colleagues. We have a presentation which we are going to project just now. Honorable Chairperson, I do believe that the Deputy Minister's remarks were adequate to cover the broader scope of the introductory part of the presentation to enable the detail to be outlined. We will outline the detail per individual program, and we are going to start with program one. And I would then request Paul to go to the slides in program one. We have agreed, Honorable Chairperson, that amongst us as officials, we are going to do division of labor. The acting DDG for corporate management, Mr. Blessing Manale, is going to take us through program one. When he is done, he will hand over to the DDG for program two, Ms. Anemi Malan, who will also then hand over to Program 3 DDG, Ms. Chetia, and she will then hand over to Ms. Sitwaga, who's the DDG for Program 4. After they have concluded, I will take the committee through the risks that are associated with the implementation of this plan and how we are attending to those particular risks. And I will then ask the CFO to take the committee through the financial position of the organization and the appropriation overall and how it's actually going to be expended. I would then ask Blessing to take us through the first part of the presentation. Blessing.
Good morning, Honorable Members, Director General, thank you very much, Honorable Chair, the Minister of Tourism and the Deputy Minister. My name is Blessing Manale. As the DG has already said, I'm Acting Deputy Director General for Corporate Management, which is responsible, which is the engine of the organization and drives Program 1, which Program 1 includes the functions of audit, communications, human resources, legal services, strategy and systems, as well as the Office of the Minister, the Office of the Director General in terms of the administrative backbone there. The branch provides strategic leadership management and support services to the department, and we have got a number of targets looking into how do we make sure that the organization is efficient, agile, accountable, resourceful, and it performs to its optimum. If I can move immediately to the 2021-2022 annual targets with their outputs and the kind of indicators, some of the programs you'd see that there are no quota, there are quotas without targets, and that's mainly because there would be work being done and there would be no reportables, like as in the first output now. The first output is around unqualified annual audit. We want to maintain that clean slate of audits for both financial and non-financial performance. In terms of quarter one on unqualified audits, We would ensure that on the first quarter we submitted the right performance information to the Auditor General and National Treasurer as required by the prescripts. We do not have a target for quarter two, as would obviously be then be interacting with the AG in terms of the audit plan. And then in quarter three, would then have an audit plan developed in terms of the AXA Auditor General outcomes, and then continue to review the internal control measures to improve whatever would have come out of that audit outcome, even if we believe that it would still remain unqualified, it would still have views on improvement. In terms of output two, we want to attract and retain a capable and ethical workforce in a caring environment. Our staff, it's our energy and the things that makes us happen to deliver on what the DM and the minister have said. One of the critical elements there is maintaining a vacancy rate below 10%, and we will want to chase up that target every quarter in and out. Would not exceed a 10% vacancy rate of the funded establishment. And then we appreciate that there will always be challenges of attrition and of turnover in terms of the organization, but we want to be able to keep that target tied, all the target, I mean, quarter in, quarter out. In terms of the next output, we want to also, as part of attracting a capable and ethical workforce, our third indicator there would be equity targets in terms of the department's employment equity plan. In terms of maintaining senior management services, members would want to keep that 50% women across all the quarters for the four quarters for the year. In terms of persons with disabilities, would maintain it at 3% across all the quarters, and that's also our annual target. And then in terms of representation, we would want to keep it at 91.5% minimum black representation across all the quarters to make sure that that target is not compromised annually. And then our output indicator four, it's work around the workplace skills plan to make sure that our staff continues to be developed and adaptive to new challenges. We will develop our WSP should be fully developed, and we make sure that in the quarter one, we achieve 25% of its target, with 30% in quarter two, 25%, and then 20% in the last quarter. We manage those targets based on intakes in universities and service providers, as well as in the academic calendar, because some of this has got external dependencies in terms of academic calendars for both short courses in the School of Government, et cetera, but as well as the personal development plan of individual employees. Then in terms of the indicator five, we want to make sure that the annual internal audit plan is implemented 100%, and the percentage there does not mean that in one quarter would ignore other aspects of the annual plan. You find that we've got first things to do first, and that's why it is split across there, but would make sure that at the end of the quarter four, all recommendations, all management interventions in the annual internal audit plan, and to make sure that the audit is on schedule with all verifications done. And that is how we want to maintain that level of excellence. Then in terms of output indicator six, it's around communications and awareness. I would want to make sure that the departmental communication strategy and campaign plan is implemented, because it is not one single achievable. We've outlined per quarter the implementation of the strategy, and it has got about three key areas: a domestic and international media relations plan. We have known our interactions with the media, work around the district development model outreach program, and then work around the recovery of the brand activations, as well as the seasonal campaign, Easter, school holidays, spring, as well as the festive season. And of course, we'll continue to be accessible through our call center and other platforms where the public continues to engage with the department. And then we'll then, as we plan for 2023, make sure that we review the communication strategy ahead of their facing us. And that process starts once the State of the Nation address is presented. Our output indicator seven on procurement of goods and services from triple B compliant businesses. We would want to make sure that our triple BEE compliant is 100%, so there's no compromise. And then in terms of 30% expenditure for procurement on SMEs, that is our target. And that also includes youth, women, persons with disabilities, and of course, I think military veterans as part of those aspects of designated groups. Then in terms of output number 8, we think that even as the engine, we must contribute to initiatives to support the tourism sector recovery. One such strength is procurement, and we will make sure that we develop a framework that makes sure that our procurement supports the recovery of the sector. It might be in terms of venues, in terms of accommodation, in terms of shuttle services, everything else that we use as a department in that area, charity will begin at home. That's in terms of our indicator 8. And we've got quarterly targets for those kind of, for that kind of indicator. Output indicator 9, it's percentage of invoices paid within prescribed time frames. We will stick to the 30 days in and out every quarter. Under recovery, an extra day of an unpaid SMME, whether it's an SOE or municipality, brings trouble into the space. So we'll keep to that 30 days and we'll be keeping to it. Then, of course, reasonable access, gender equity, we'll develop our output indicator there. It's a number of initiatives implemented to promote reasonable universal access. We continue to finalize our reports every quarter to the DPSA on job access strategic framework for persons with disabilities. We every quarter, and we are actually improving on making sure that the department is accessible to persons with disabilities, not only when they're in the department, the signage outside the building, the brown signs, the braille inside the lift. So we want to make sure that the department is the right place to work for persons with those kind of challenges. And then, of course, we'll continue with our diversity management for the men's forum, the LGBT communities, and we'll continue to produce a quarterly report at the end of the year. And we've got various forums. And then in terms of output number, indicator 11, I've already spoken about that. That relates to initiatives implemented to promote gender equality. We've got programs internally looking, inspiring our staff during Women's Month, during November Men's Month. And the forum continues to engage on issues of gender in the organization. And then, of course, the final indicator, honorable members and colleagues, it's initiatives implemented to promote integrity and ethical conduct. The integrity of the public service is continuously under scrutiny, and we are managing a number in quarter one. Make sure that all SMSs and designated members sign off their declarations of financial interest. We are continuing awareness on gift policy to make sure that our staff, when they receive gifts, our sector can be very fascinating, and people give you this or that, but our staff honestly and all the time declare those gifts, including the executive. And then we'll continue to host workshops on code of conduct, and we're improving the conduct and making sure that even when our colleagues stay at home, they conduct themselves during workplace movements due to conduct to COVID. They conduct themselves in the right way. And then I've already spoken about the disclosures. And then as well as MMS declarations, those that are in supply chain, in sensitive areas, highly exposed, will make sure that they also subscribe in terms of the public service regulations. And honorable members, that completes program one, and I'll now hand over with the acceptance of the DG and the honorable house, DDG Malan, to present on program two. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Blessing. Good morning, Minister, Deputy Minister, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members. Program two focuses on research policy and international relations. It also includes the oversight over our public entity, South African Tourism. We can go to the next slide, please, Paul. We have a number of monitoring and evaluation reports that we will be producing in the current financial year, 8 in total. The first one is an annual report that we've been compiling, and that is also becoming more important, especially noting the COVID pandemic, and that is our State of Tourism report. And in a financial year, we start with one and we complete another one in terms of the sequencing. We will also monitor the implementation of the norms and standards for the safe operations in the tourism sector as soon as the norms and standards are introduced. Next slide, please. Honourable members might recall that in the previous financial year, we did do three evaluation reports on the impact of COVID together with our partners, and we are planning to do two additional reports in the current financial year measuring the impact of COVID. Our section is also our branch. The program is also responsible for the implementation report of the National Tourism Sector Strategy. But also now, noting that Cabinet has approved the Tourism Sector Recovery Plan, as Deputy Minister also alluded to, the team will also be responsible to track progress on the implementation of the Sector Recovery Plan. And we will produce reports on both those strategies and plans. Thanks, Paul. Next slide. Then, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members, also mentioned by Deputy Minister, we are in the process to review the tourism policy led by the advisory panel that Minister appointed, and we aim to have the green paper on the development and promotion of tourism in South Africa available by the end of the financial year. As I mentioned, the program is also responsible for entity oversight, and we are therefore producing and compiling quarterly reports for ministers' information. Then, as part of our information and knowledge management program, we are developing two systems. The first one is an integrated tourism knowledge system that we will implement. And then the second program that we are doing under this output is the continuation of the data collection program that we started in the previous financial year. So we would do the data collection and the verification in line with the NTIMS regulations. From an international perspective, and specifically targeting multilateral fora, we have targeted the G20 multilateral platform. Coincidentally, Minister is also participating in the G20 ministerial meeting later today. We are also working within the SADC tourism program as well as BRICS tourism program, and there are already ministerial meetings scheduled for both these platforms in the next quarter. We are also working within the UNWTO to also advance our national priorities and also to get an update of what is happening on the international platform and guidelines, especially in response to recovering of COVID. The General Assembly for the UNWTO is also scheduled for later this year. We are also participating in the African tourism in the AU, and we are working in that platform in development of a feasibility study for the African Tourism Organization. And then we are also working on the South African participation and implementation of the Indian Ocean Rim Association work plan. So these are the multilateral platforms that we have prioritized. In terms of our bilateral agreements, we will continue to implement the bilateral agreements that we signed through implementation plans and also prioritize MOUs with key countries. But we have also included a new program or a new target, and that specifically speaks to outreach programs to diplomatic communities. And we are targeting four of those in this financial year. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. I'm handing over to DDG Chetia.
Good morning, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, Honorable Minister and Honorable PM. I'm going to take you through slides 31 to 40, which contains the work of destination development. In summary, there are 9 APP indicators in this area of work. Destination development, of course, focuses on tourism places, spaces, physical infrastructure, and route development. And as the DM had indicated a bit earlier, in terms of the economic reconstruction and recovery plan, it actually supports the work on tourism, on infrastructure investment and public employment. And it responds directly to the strategic pillar in the tourism recovery plan on protecting and rejuvenating tourism supply. The first slide talks to the work that we've been doing on the budget resort network and brand concept. And this year, the target is to, in fact, pilot this and conclude stakeholder compacts in terms of this. The intention, of course, of the budget resort is to create an affordable chain of accommodation and experiences to serve a domestic and regional market. The next slide then talks to the work that we're taking forward from our tourism spatial master plans. And this is to, in fact, entrench the work that is contained in those spatial master plans into the following DDM one plans for Oar Tambo, Etegwene, Pixley, Kaseme, and the Makwa district. I think honorable members will be familiar with the four master plans that were completed previously. The next three indicators, if we can go to slide 34, speak to the work that we're doing in destination investment. And the first one is about creating a pipeline of nationally prioritized tourism investment opportunities. These are, in fact, new or greenfield projects. The next slide then talks to the work that we're doing with projects that are currently in distress. And this is really to support high impact tourism projects that are struggling at the moment to find and match them with potential investors in order to allow those businesses to survive. The last indicator then in the investment work is really creating the promotion platforms to actually share both greenfield and brownfield projects. The next set of work talks to our work in destination enhancement. And over the next 3 years, the destination development team will work in over 100 sites across the country. The first of this is the infrastructure maintenance program in 19 national parks. This work is to ensure, as the DM had indicated, that when tourism is fully opened, these facilities are fit for purpose and ready to accept visitors in. The next set of work then is actually expanding the maintenance program into a provincial maintenance program. And although the indicator is one maintenance program per province, we do understand that we will work in multiple sites in each of the provinces, ensuring that those state-owned facilities are similarly fit for purpose. The next set of indicators then is to actually support the implementation of 30 community-based tourism projects. These are expanded public works programs, and they are to, in fact, create tourism facilities at the 30 community projects that we have across the country. And the working in the space is actually in the infrastructure space, is in fact creating and building facilities and then supporting communities to take over the operations and management of these facilities. This work is really about diversifying product and ensuring that in fact we have multiple products across the country that suit the needs of various visitors. The last indicator, if we could go to slide 40, thank you, Paul, is the work opportunities indicator. And this is, of course, the expanded public works program. And the work opportunities are created then across various programs funded in each of the branches that support the expanded public works program. Thank you very much. I'm now going to hand over to DDG Sitwaba.
Thank you, DDG. Good morning, Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee and Honourable Members. Good morning, Minister and DM. Good morning to DG and to my fellow colleagues in the department. The branch tourism sector support services continues to enhance transformation of the sector. We continue to increase skills level and support development to ensure that our country remains a tourism destination that can compete globally. And in terms of our programs to accelerate the transformation of the tourism sector, we will focus on the implementation of the Tourism Equity Fund and the Green Tourism Incentive Program. What we have planned in terms of the four quarters is to ensure that we attend to the adjudication committee meetings, which are mainly to ensure that there's beneficiation, that decisions are taken to ensure that the objectives of the funds are realized, which is really to be able to support a transformation. Next slide. In terms of stimulating domestic tourism, we are going to implement our domestic tourism scheme. For the first quarter, we will appoint a service provider to ensure that the domestic tourism scheme is implemented across the nine provinces in all of our attractions which we would have selected in the approved domestic tourism scheme. Next slide. To increase participation of our SMMEs in the tourism sector so as to ensure inclusive economic growth, we will continue with our incubation programs where we are providing business support and development to SMMEs. There's three incubators. Members will be well acquainted with them. That will be the Manyeliti Incubator, Palaburua and Mir are in their final year of implementation this time around. We will be ensuring that at the end of the quarter four, we produce a report in terms of how they have produced the results that we are looking forward to. Next slide. The other three, which is the technology incubator, the tour operator and the food services, we are finalizing planning. We are ensuring that we finalize recruitment of the beneficiaries into the incubator, and then we will be implementing across the other quarters. On the two community-based enterprise incubation program, we will appoint a service provider and then begin with implementation. Next slide. To increase participation of women in the sector so as to drive inclusive economic growth, we have got two programs targeting women. The first one will be implementation of a program to provide business support development and to 25 women in each of our 9 provinces. So in total, we will be providing business support development to 225 women-owned enterprises. The next one. The second one on increasing participation of women in the sector will be the UNWTO Women in Tourism Pilot Program, which is getting into its second phase now. We have concluded the first phase. We will be able to launch the program after all the situation and analysis and the scoping of the program has been finalized with the UNWTO. To enhance visitor service and experience, we've got 2 programs lined up. Continuation of the implementation of the Service Excellence Program, working together with provinces, that will culminate into the Service Excellence Program being embedded at quarter 4 in our provincial legacy teams, and also the holding of a roundtable discussion and the media dialogue hosted to ensure that there's awareness and a proper implementation of service level excellence. The other program will be the implementation of the Tourism Monitors Program across all the 9 provinces, including Sanbi, Sanparks, and Isimangaliso. What is good about this program for this turnaround is that we are repurposing it to include our tourism monitors being able to monitor compliance with the norms and standards in the attractions that they will be placed. We have 10 capacity building programs to enhance skills in the tourism sector. The first one is targeted at tourist guides. This time around, we will be implementing the capacity building program to tourist guides from the Northwest, Northern Cape, and also Free State. Next slide. Our food safety quality assurance program will include a training on norms and standards. I must say all of our skills development programs will include providing training to beneficiaries on the application of the COVID-19 protocols and the norms and standards. We are targeting 300 unemployed and retrenched youth. Members will notice that we are using the vehicle provided by the EPWP funding. This year around, we are going to be including into the youth those that have been retrenched, particularly because of the decline in business activities within tourism. The Chef Professional Cookery will also, no, that is the chef targeting 300. Next slide. The wine service training program will also include norms and standards. We will be offering the training to 252 unemployed and retrenched youth sourced from KZN and Western Cape. The hospitality youth program, food and beverage, we're targeting 1,000 unemployed and retrenched youth. It will be provided across all provinces. Our program on the executive development for women in tourism is underway. The women have been enrolled into a tertiary institution. They are continuing with their studies and training. So in terms of the plans, it will be to monitor and make sure that quarterly reports are provided in terms of how they are progressing with their learnership. In terms of the chefs, to afford them an opportunity for their skills to be recognized, we will support 30 chefs through the recognition of prior learning process for them to have the necessary qualification. We have included a target this year to ensure that we reach enterprises that are in the villages, townships, and small towns to ensure that they receive training on the application of the norms and standards for safe tourism operations. The National Tourism Career Expo, NTCE, is continuing, and this time around, we will work together closely with provinces at the time when they are planning their own provincial tourism career expos. It will culminate into a national one in the third quarter, and then in the fourth quarter, we will issue out a closeout report just to take stock of what has happened, what are the areas that we can be able to improve. The implementation of educators development program in all 9 provinces will be offered as well this financial year. We will engage with stakeholders, and then we will implement the program in Q2 and Q3 with a report being provided at the end of the financial year. Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you.
Good morning, Chairperson. Good morning, members. Good morning, Minister, Deputy Minister, DG and colleagues. I'm going to take you through financial information. You can see that we also include all three, the MTA financial years. Also, we include the previous financial year to allow you to see the comparison between the previous year and the year that is now started now on the 1st of April. You will see that our total budget in the previous financial year was 1.4 billion because we returned 1 billion back to the National Treasury. Now in the 21-22 financial year, we are back to 2.4 billion for the department. On the administration budget, you will see that the previous financial year, our administration was 21% of the budget. That was due to the return of the funding, mostly SA tourism marketing funding that we returned to National Treasury. And now our administration is back to 12.6%. And if you look across, it remains about 12.5%. Tourism, research policy and international relations, which include our contribution to SA tourism, it is back to 1.3 billion. And that is the biggest component of our budget. It is 56.9%. And then we've got destination development, which includes our working for tourism projects. And then our tourism sector support services, which includes our tourism incentive program, which is at 18%. The next slide. You can see that over the MTF period, our compensation of employees for the past financial year, we had 336 million rand for compensation of employees. And now going forward in the next three financial years, it remains at 333 million. So there's no increases in compensation of employees. So it's going to be a very tight three financial years ahead of us. You will also see that on the transfers and subsidies, it was 473, and then it increased in the 2021-22 financial to back to 1.6 billion. And that is, as I said, the SA tourism that is now the marketing funds that has been included again. The next slide. This is now the breakdown for the administration program. As also indicated by the DDG, acting DDG corporate management, the breakdown is what they provided for corporate management. This was basically for the HR, legal,
communication, facilities management. That's the biggest component in the department, and that's 55.3% in the 21-22 financial year. And then we've also got our office accommodation. That is our contract with Public Works for our building, head office building, 45 million rand. The next slide. You can see that our compensation of our employees is the biggest component of a specific budget. It's 151.6 million. For the 21-22 financial year, and it remains more or less at the same level over the MTF period. The total budget for administration is 305 million rand. The next slide. This is our program two. Biggest component, as I said, is South African tourism contribution, nearly 1.3 billion. And then the total amount of the specific one is about 1.3, 1.4 billion rand for this program. Next slide. Just an indication also here, compensation of employees, it remains constant over the MTF period. Next slide. Destination development, here you can see that the budget for the Working for Tourism or EPWP programs has been reduced over MTF period. We've only got 216.6 million in the 21-22 financial year, and the total budget for this program is 305.5 million. Next one. The breakdown, the compensation, once again, can you see it's constant, 55.8 million over the financial years. And then the biggest component is the EPWP or Working for Tourism, 249.5 million, that is included under goods and services. Next slide. Program four, this one includes our tourism incentive program. You know that the Tourism Equity Fund has been included 540 million over the MTF period, and you can see it in the 21-22 where it's 327 million rand, and then also in the outer years 332 million rand for this specific program. Then this is okay. The next one is just the compensation of employees. Once again, can you see across the financial years, and then the transfer payments that is the Tourism Equity Fund, the Tourism Incentive Program. And this is all from my side, and I hand over to the DG. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you once more, Chairperson. There are a couple of risks, and as the colleagues, in particular the CFO, was going through the budget, some of the risks are also associated with that particular budget. The first one could just highlight is the fact that there is no increase, not even in nominal terms, for the compensation budget does pose a risk to some of our targets, namely the vacancy rate as well as the targets associated with meeting the employment equity targets, because we have to make sure we recruit people into the positions. But the tension between the recruitment of people and exceeding the budget for compensation, which is not allowed, becomes a bit of a challenge. The second one in relation to the budget is that consistently ensure that we are maximizing on efficiencies when it comes to projects that we do using the EPWP budget. That is because we have a reduction of the equivalent of about 180 or so million rands in the EPWP budget. So it calls on us to be more and more innovative in terms of bringing in efficiencies. Coming back to the key strategic risks that we face, we do as a sector overall face the risk of not being able to meet our transformation targets. And this is in terms of the targets as they relate to the broad-based bank economic empowerment codes of good practice for tourism. And this is seen on the basis, I mean, we state this on the basis of the trends that we've seen with regards to the extent to which some of the elements, they call them elements, these areas, category areas in the codes have not necessarily been moving at a desirable pace, whether we're talking about ownership in particular, but management control also has really not been moving at the desired pace. So is enterprise and supplier development. And these are areas that we do believe that a more effort must be done from the point of view of the council itself, so that they have got a much more sharp focused approach in the manner in which they will be monitoring this. Of course, they will be reporting this, they will be bringing reports also to Parliament, and they will also be discussing these reports with those who must act on them, industry as well as government. In terms of ensuring that we have a policy framework that is conducive, but that is also up to date as these continuous changes in the environment, be it globally or even at home, the mitigation there is to ensure that we conclude this policy review and that the necessary policies that must be brought in, or wherever we have got to review existing policies, we then do that. We also believe that any possibility of not implementing the norms and standards in terms of safe operations will take us back. Honorable Chairperson, you did mention that we are not out of the woods yet. And in reality, we are going to find ourselves in trouble if there isn't that level of compliance. So we are going to be working with the sector for partnerships to the sector to implement the norms standards with regards to ensuring that on these compliance issues into all other trainings that we'll be doing, and as these youth will be doing their in-service training, so to say, they would also be able to apply that particular skill in the various environments where they will be in. Issues around brand reputation, and we've seen this where we were now labeled with a South African variant and so on. And these activities that will be done, some of them, DDG Malan spoke to outreach program that Minister will be championing, going to the various missions in the country and really getting to more nuanced, detailed discussions in terms of what is happening within the environment of those particular countries in relation to the perceptions about South Africa and what that would do for tourism. We will continue with the safety program. We don't want to lose momentum on this, and we don't want an impression that because there's COVID, then perhaps this is something that we've put in the back bench. And there will be more and more campaigns that will be done regarding domestic tourism promotion, and to make sure that indeed we are positioning the brand in that context, as well as positioning the brand globally. And some of this will also be spoken to further tomorrow as the honorable members will be meeting with our entity. And in terms of the public health emergencies, we believe that this COVID-19 lessons must be integrated in our work going forward. If we are not going to be doing that, the chances are that we will be found wanting should we experience yet another type of pandemic. So these lessons, we take them into account. But we, one of the biggest lessons is that domestic has got to be the backbone, and that is what we are going to try and push for as we go forward. Thank you. The issues around climate change, this will continue to be with us for quite some time. But we put together, we've done vulnerability assessment, the specific mitigations also with the sector. But as we were presenting on program four, part of what was highlighted there was that we are going to be continuing, for instance, with the clean incentive, and it is part of the measures that we're actually providing to be able to deal with this. In terms of the impact of COVID on employment, honourable members would have noticed that besides the broader mechanisms that were applied overall in the country, whether it was tax issues, whether it was the issues that are related to those that were laid off and so on, the UIF specific. And so we are saying that the only thing that is going to get people back into the jobs properly is when we have got operations. And those operations must also be sustainable, and they will only be sustainable if they are done safe. That's one aspect. But as a measure which really is kind of interim, on program four, as the DDG was presenting, honorable members would have noted that we have made a provision that youth that would have been laid off would also qualify to become beneficiaries of our programs, and that would assist with issues of reskilling for them to be able to either diversify in terms of the areas that they focused on before and be able to be active again in the labor force. The last one, the capacity of SA Tourism. The issues of oversight, we are working much more closely with SAT now to make sure that as we roll out the tourism sector recovery plan, we are in unison and we are able to get the message out to the market, and we are also able to strengthen the domestic component, including the regional aspect. So that is where we are going to be focusing a lot more effort on, but we actually make sure that, as DDG was saying, on a quarterly basis, we are able to the minister in terms of areas that might need intervention and particular focus. In terms of the issues around capacity to implement infrastructure projects, this is an area that we have acknowledged that as a department, we do not have this capacity. And to mitigate that, we got the services of the Development Bank of Southern Africa on board. Issues around contract management, in the main, we're dealing with issues around capacity to be able to deal with contract management. But also enforcement. Part of what we picked up as we're doing some of these risk analysis is that contracts may be there and it may actually adequately provide for all aspects. But the person who's managing the contract does not necessarily go back to the contracts all the time to look at what it provides for. In this instance, what do I do, and so on. And that level of awareness and also making sure that that level of enforcement is done, that is what we are now going to be making sure that there's a lot more focus on. We are also going to be getting stronger bonds and relations and so on, working together with associations in the sector. And this will assist us to be able to gather information, to be able to understand more nuanced detail about how they are faring within the context of recovery from COVID and so on. And this is because those associations are a lot more day-to-day with the various businesses and so on. I must commend these associations, whether it is those that are dealing with big businesses or those that are dealing with small businesses, those that are dealing with businesses that are Satovito as an example, or your TBCSAs, we have worked very well together in the process of actually getting to where we are today. The issues around monopoly as well as collusive practices by suppliers, this we see as a big risk, and we continue to monitor the patterns in terms of supplier conduct. So we also monitor issues of rotation and to make sure that we don't have those evergreen contracts and people who become permanent suppliers of the department. And we have initiatives so that there is a bigger pool. We see this often when we are going to a particular area that is either a village far from the nearest town and so on. You get almost the same people are the ones that would be quoting to say they want to supply us and so on for the particular services. And this points to the fact that the level of development of suppliers in those areas is still really needing some attention. On issues of corruption, what we are doing is to strengthen internal controls. We continue to do that, but also apply consequence management in cases where we have actually found that people are taking part in such activities. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members. Our presentation ends here. We'll hand back to the DM. Thanks.
DM or Minister, over to you. Relevant for the presentation and your collective. Any amplification, Mr. Deputy Minister and Honorable Minister?
Thank you very much, Chair. Just to come in on the issues, which I think most of the time would be important every time as we come before the committee to talk about the environment where we are dealing with COVID-19. DM has covered all that relates to our work. We continue in terms of the recovery. But to indicate, I know that many of the public would be worried about what is happening in India and the impact in terms of our international borders. Just to indicate, Chair, that a decision has not been taken by NCCC, but there is work that is being done by Minister Mkhize together with the scientists. As we have said previously, that decisions by government in terms of either opening or closing borders will be scientific, will be based on informed decisions. So I just want to reiterate that part, that there are discussions around it, and Minister Mkhize would have communicated publicly on the issues. There's been a lot of speculation that South Africa now has a pandemic or people came from India and they got COVID-19. Minister Mkhize today has confirmed that there isn't such information. So we do appeal as we work in the tourism space all of us as honorable members, assist us in communicating so that some of the fake news and some of the misinformation that gets into the public, sometimes it creates panic, which is unnecessary. So I thought, let me just cover that part, but all the issues have been covered by the PM and the team. Thank you. We'll respond to the questions, Chair.
Relevant Minister, Baya Danki, Baya Danki, together with your collective. Honorable members, there is the presentation. Today we will start with Honorable Khalipa to engage with the presentation. Ntate Khalipo. It doesn't look like we've got Honorable Khalipa on the line.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. How are you today? Yes. And thank you to the Minister. Good morning to Minister and the team. Good morning to the DG and the team, and good morning to honorable members of the portfolio committee. After a long time, we are now together. Thank you very much, Chairperson, for this information. We very appreciate the information that you received from the department and the minister and the deputy minister. Honorable Chairperson, there's only few things that I need some clarification from the department. The first one is that I didn't hear any target for any program that targeted the youth and the women with disability and the people with disability. Only the target that I saw is the one for women. Is any target that or a budget that is targeted for the youth and the people with disability? If there is any, I can be very happy if they can tell us. And the other Chairperson, I'm trying to check the implementation program of educators development, because you see, if they say they have a program for all provinces for the educators, but if they can give us the budget that attached to that program. Because if we don't have that, what is happening now? Do you still hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you, Baba Sole. Cool, Baba.
Okay, thank you very much. And then the other Chairperson, I'm worried about the compensation of employees. If you check the compensation of the employees, it seems that there is no increment on that one. But I'm worried because they do have the vacancies. So if there is no increment of compensation of employees, how are they going to fill those vacancies that need to be filled? If they can give us that information, Chairperson. And the other Chairperson is that one of the, if they can actually alert us about their plan for the predicted coming of the COVID-19 wave 3, because there is that saying that there is that wave 3 coming. If they can give us their program, how are they going to meet if that thing is happening? Because the tourism is the one was actually suffer from this COVID-19. So if they can give us some training on that one. And the last one, Chairperson, is that one of the, if they can give us the full report on the EPWP. Because you see, if you go to public works, they talk about EPWP, transport, EPWP, all the departments. If the tourism can give us their budget for EPWP, their implementation of EPWP, so that we can have the full report of the time. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Oke, Baba Stole. Ntate April. Miner April. Es honorable April Daso. That let me see only. Okay, it doesn't look like we've got honorable April. And that's a Gumbi.
Chairperson, can you hear me? I hope I'm not.
Yes, Seguzwaga, Seba.
Sure, I hope it's not too loud where I am. I just came here for signal. Now, Chairperson, I've just got three questions to ask. The first question is does the review of the policy, which is currently happening now, suggest free grading that is accepted by all parties? It's one thing to review a policy with new suggestions and new knowledge, but it's also another thing to review it with a policy consideration that is now generally accepted across all political parties. The second question is, does it consider tax breaks, especially for businesses within the tourism sector, that we would want to be able to potentially send that to the Minister of Finance as part of our recovery? Not income suffered heavily financially, and it's very, very difficult space to recover with overhead, with costs, which I think that we could be able to assist in with. The third question is, what consideration has there been on what is increasingly, I would think, a standard tourism protocol for countries to accept visitors who can prove that they have been vaccinated? So there was mention of the fact that South Africa continues to ban some countries wholly, but on what basis do we do that? If you're talking about the idea of recovering in the tourism sector, why do we not accept people who have been vaccinated from those countries or are COVID-free, just as a standard policy if we are serious about assisting the sector? Thank you very much, and thank you for the presentation.
Thank you, Chairperson, the Minister, Deputy Minister, DG and the team, and my colleagues. Chairperson, you'll forgive me. Where I am, there's no good signal, so I won't switch on my camera. Let me start with Program 3, Chairperson, from Mesha Mila, Destination Development. In her report, she mentioned that there will be some programs at OR Tambo, eThekwini, Pixley, and Namakwa. My question goes to Pixley and Namakwa. I want her to be specific. What will be done at Pixley? Where? When I say where, I want to know whether it's at DR or where, which town, and who will be the main beneficiaries of the program or the project. The reason why I'm saying who, I'm not looking for the name of the people, I'm looking for the transformation target, because we're looking, our focus is on transformation. The same questions goes to Namakwa. My focus is more on Northern Cape. So I want to know what will be done, where, and who are the main beneficiaries focusing on transformation benefit. And the next thing, I've seen in Limpopo there are some programs to be done. And then there is a place called Tisane. Where is this place, and which part of Limpopo is it?
And then what will be done exactly there? Then I'm going to program 4. Chairperson, on program 4, No, on financials. On financials, I see there's zero increase to compensation. What will that do to the transformation targets? What will that do to the vacancies? What will that do to the fight against unemployment? Those are my questions, because if we have zero increase in compensation to employees, it means we won't be able to fill up the vacancies. It means we won't be able to employ more people, and it has also a potential of retrenchments or layoffs. And what does that mean to the whole employment challenges we have in the country? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Muteka. Honorable Push, Alphumes. Yo. I will come back to you later. Your network.
Chairperson.
Yeah, well, push. Are you there?
Chairperson, can
yes,
you hear? Yes, sir. Yes, Chairperson,
yeah,
can you hear me
now?
You
clearly now. Your network was a bit wobbling.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, unga push, yeah, push.
Okay. No, thanks a lot, Chairperson. Good morning. Morning to the Honorable Minister, Honorable Deputy, the Honorable Members of the Committee, the DG and his collective officials. Chairperson, I appreciate the remarks by the Deputy Minister. I also welcome them. Mine is on one program one. In as much as I applaud the department's attempts at playing a more proactive role in the recovery of the sector, may the department appraise us as a committee on the outline of the framework as to how suppliers will be chosen and the geographic spread of these initiatives. On subprogram 2, Chairperson, management, The decrease on the budget, how will it affect the work of the department? In fact, generally on areas where there is a decline in budget, may they kindly share with us as to how will the work of the department be affected? Also, Chairperson, on program one, may the Honorable Minister say, in fact, generally on the performance plan tabled, may the Minister share with us the details on the stability in the department and the internal capacity to deliver on the 2021-22 and 2023-24 annual performance plan as tabled, Chairperson. Also, Chairperson, how is the department striking a balance between tourism development and marketing, given that 53.6% of the budget is allocated towards marketing, whilst 46.4% is for tourism development, Chairperson? On program 2, Chairperson,
I'm not sure I can walk on the table. There are these outreach programs that are targeted there. How will they differ from the six fora like your SADC briefs and engagements? Will the department be participating also with these through a partnership which will be done with the key stakeholders such as your DECO Chairperson? On program three again, Chairperson, this one speaks to the one that I summarized as generally. How will the department, how will be the impact of the budget cut on the department? Because on program three, the budget allocation for the program has decreased by 37.5%. From 465.9 million in 2021 to 305.6 million in 2021-22. As to how would it impact the private area. What are the successes in terms of the TF?
Honorable Mpushe, your network is now degenerating.
Is it?
It's better now.
I'm not sure if it's a question.
Yeah, proceed then.
Am I audible now?
Yes, you are now. It's okay.
Okay.
You must be generating.
I'm not sure. I was saying in program three, the budget allocation for the program has decreased by 7.5% from 5.9 million. In 2021, 305.6 million, how it will impact the sex. In that, the Chairperson, what are the successes of the TEF and the TTF programs of the department, Chairperson? Also, on program three, there is a target of pipeline of national. Projects, tourism investment opportunities managed. I think there is a need for a detailed presentation on these targets. How do they differ from those that the department has currently, Chairperson? What has the department done to improve on the challenges experienced in the implementation of the annual performance plan in relation to issues such as a poor project planning and implementation, poor planning for project implementation with third parties, contract management delays in appointing service providers, supply chain and procurement challenges, Chair? I think I will end there for now, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Pushpush. Honorable Shamima. You know I'm used to calling you Shamimo. Honorable Shamima, Honorable Winkler.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you to the department for the presentation. Hello, colleagues. I'd like to know how is climate change readiness and responsible tourism, including a green tourism, how is it included in the department's programs overall? How does it inform all the programs in the department? So that's the first question. The second is, with regard to TERS, has the department or has the minister considered extending that for a further 3 months, since domestic tourism is still very low, and we are looking at recovery of the sector? I think can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you, Honorable Shamigo. Somebody's talking about the dog.
All right. And then the third is, with regards to recovering local tourism, we do have an issue where we need to confer with other departments, like COCTA, for instance, when it comes to issues that predate COVID. So issues of safety and being able to attract foreign tourists as well as domestic tourists in certain areas where we know that there's issues with safety. We know that there's issues with perhaps environmental health because of water quality and blue flag status. So those are issues that predate COVID and that still need to be addressed. And how are those also going to be absorbed into the tourism recovery plan? Thank you.
Thanks, Honorable Winkler. Let's go to Honorable Kaiko. Okay, Honorable Gumba.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, and greetings to the Honorable Members of the Committee and the Department. Honorable Chair, I have a few questions here that I would like to ask. The first question here is about the review tourism policy. I think Honorable Gombe also raised it, but I would also like to elaborate on it. On this review policy, tourism policy, I would like to ask about the grading of the establishments, which is in relation to the quality assurance. To say, is the policy also going to address the issue of the free grading? Is the reviewal of the policy also going to address the issue of free grading of the establishment, like we requested as the committee in the previous financial year? The other one is about the bilateral agreements that needs to be signed, that was raised by DDM Malan Program 2. Which organizations do you need to sign the agreements with? When you talk about bilateral agreements to be signed, do we need to get the understanding which agreements and with which organizations so that we are clear on that? The other one, Honorable Chair, is about the EPWP. I heard Mema Ditonki talking about it. We want to find out if really the implementation of the EPWP, is there any plan to ensure that it is properly implemented, and ensuring that funds will be utilized for the benefit of the EPWP program as planned. The other question is about the villages, townships, and dorpies. Chair, I find a piece of pie being the smallest of them all that are shared to these villages, townships, and dorpies. And the reason why I'm saying that, it is just talking on the training on safe tourism. It says nothing about the destination development areas in those villages, townships, and dorpies. And I know the Department of Tourism should be knowing the plight of the committee. The plight of the committee, which is priority number one, is to ensure that tourism is actually giving attention to villages, to townships, and to dorpies. We're talking about grading in those township villages and small dorpies. To those already established tourism destinations, in those townships and in those dorpies. We also talking about attention that you need to give to those villages, townships, and dorpies to make formations of forums that will actually enhance tourism in those areas that we are speaking about. But I don't hear the Department of Tourism talking about growing tourism in that area, but they will only talk about tourism training, safe tourism training, which is not enough, Honorable Chair, and which I think will take a very slow pace of time in developing tourism and ensuring that tourism in villages is growing, tourism in township, especially in township where you find the majority of the people of South Africa, you find tourism moving very, very slow. I think the DDG mentioned it very, very loudly to say that because of COVID, there's a lesson that they have learned to say domestic tourism is going to be the backbone of tourism in South Africa. But there is no way you can have a backbone of tourism without improving or supporting villages and townships and dorpies to ensure that tourism is growing in those areas where the majority of the people are residing. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Melina. How's Shelley?
Thank you, Chairperson. Honourable Chairperson, allow me to greet my colleagues, the honourable members of the Portfolio Committee on Tourism, and also the Minister and the DM, and the staff from the department as led by the DG. Chairperson, I only have one question to ask. Although I want to also perhaps first have comments, take a rider on your introductory remarks around India and say what we see in India is very scary and we are left traumatized and we pray that we do not see such in South Africa. Although we can see that there are some pockets of the country where infections are growing, but we just pray that South Africa does not see what India has witnessed. And that will be entirely on our behavior and the people that are around us, how we continuously encourage fellow South Africans that they should take all the protocols of COVID seriously. So back to the APP that the department is presenting before us at the Portfolio Committee meeting this morning, is that the question that I have is that, and that's directed to perhaps the DG and DDG Chetia, is that previously the department has had challenges in implementing their APP targets, especially on projects that they rely on third party to implement the project. And that has been as a result of, if I conclude that it is poor planning, a poor project management, and poor implementation of the project, and that has resulted in the department year on year not able to meet their targets when it comes to a implementation of project that resulted in project delays, rollover of the project, starting afresh, going back to the drawing board, and that does not look good, or it has not, from our side, been an aspect of the department which we can say we are proud of. My question then, DG and DDG, is that for this APP 2021-2022 APP, in order for you to achieve the set objectives and the targets when it comes to project implementation, what is this that you are going to do differently? Because previously we've heard that you've implemented corrective measures, appointed new contracts, went to the drawing board and all that. But that has been ongoing. Can we then perhaps as a committee be appraised of a different strategy to be able to implement projects and a proper project management that will result in not us getting the same answer like previously? Chairperson, that is only my question. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Makubela. Honorable Deputy Minister, the Minister and the collective of the Department of Tourism, I'm sure you have heard the inputs, the matters that have been raised, the questions. It's now over to you, Minister, to sequence members of your collective to then respond to the matters that have been raised.
Chair, can I come in just before they can come in? I forgot one point to raise here.
Briefly.
Thank you very much, Chair. I just want to find out if targets which were not met in the previous financial year due to COVID-19, due to the impact of COVID-19, are those targets included in the new APP for this current financial year? Because I would find it very helpful if they are included than being just left like that, if they could not be met due to the impact of COVID-19. Thank you.
All right. Osman Maloko.
Chair will allow the team to respond together with the DM. I'll come at the end.
Okay. Or they know the sequence. That's fine. No problem.
Hello, Chairperson.
Yeah, what is the problem now?
No, it's good. I see Honorable Defensor is that before the Minister and the Department respond. If you want to say something.
Oh, Honorable Defreitas.
Yes.
Honorable Defreitas.
Thanks,
I
Chair.
Profusely apologize.
No, that's fine, Chair.
For not
I was
calling
going...
your name.
No, that's fine. I was looking for a gap to just draw your attention. I'm sorry about that.
My apologies. Honorable Defectors.
No,
it was
right.
Not deliberate at all.
No, I know that. Thank you very much.
Over to you, Honorable Defectors. Sorry, Minister.
No problem. Just most of the questions I had have been asked already. I just wanted just to ask in addition, and that is, although the latest tourism funds address bigger businesses, what is being done with the smaller businesses, the small tourism startups? And then linked to that, I want to just ask, Gumbi was asking, with regards to the villages, towns, and dorpies, what is physically being done to revive and assist tourism enterprises in those areas, just physically? Because I've gone through the reports and I don't see much where something is done to assist real tourism operators on the ground in those areas. And then my last point is the interdepartmental coordination. I think member Winkler did ask something similar, and that is, what is being done to coordinate with other departments on issues that impact on tourism, but is not within the tourism department? Things like issues of, like in home affairs with visas, or safety and security with police and so forth. And that's all I have. Thank you very much, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Honorable De Freitas. Obdiu Omble, because I know there's no detail for Minar Tarage. Dr. Tarage and your team, over to you.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. And honorable
me Africans is so saver ne minar tarage ke ta probeer om Afrikaans te praat but hier meeting het weggegaan.
Ek probeer ook. Honorable Chairperson, I will ask that we start with the sequence that we used initially when we're doing the presentation. So we're going to start from program one. There was one or two questions for program one, and then we'll go to program two, program three in that way, and then I will then come in after that. Immediately after program one, I will ask that the CFO comes in before we go to the line function the programs. Blessing.
Yes, thank you very much, Director General. In terms of the question for program one, it related to the cost of employment. We are indeed making sure that we keep the total cost of employment as per the treasury target. So that area is not in our control. But we appreciate the fact that we need to continue to create jobs in the public sector. That's why our interns are sitting at, we currently have got about 32 interns. And we are continuing to look into our structure to make sure that our vacancy rate is kept at the minimum of 10 so that we keep as many of our employees within the organizational structure. So it's affected to the extent that it is out of our control, but we're finding various measures to make sure that the organization has got the best staff and we keep to the maximum we could keep within our resources. That's how we'd address the issues of jobs in the administration. The rest of the job creation question, I think, belongs to the line function department. Thank you.
Thank you, CFO. How we select the suppliers and the specific budgets to certain things.
Thank you, DG. Yes, on the budget itself, I think there was a big cut on our EPWP budget, and then the money was basically taken away from EPWP and it was increased in the tourism incentive program. Now, the department already had discussions with National Treasury to see how we can correct the situation because our EPWP budget is running short of money for this financial year. And it was indicated that we, as a department, can address this in the adjustment budget. So obviously we will have to take that opportunity in the adjustment budget to do that shift. Just also on the compensation of employees, which was now also addressed by Blessing, it is for us as a department also a concern because we know that we need to meet our targets and a limit has been placed on our compensation of employees. Should we exceed the compensation of employees limit, the expenditure is classified as unauthorized expenditure. So if we exceed the limit, we have to then ask the National Treasury approval again. And that is something that we will have to look at also in the adjustment budget, that we can request National Treasury to at least look at raising the limit for the department so that we can be in a position to fill our vacancies and to reach our targets as per APP. On the selection of suppliers, we follow the procurement process, which is prescribed by National Treasury. So in the various areas, we will ask for free quotations, and we will follow the process and then apply the 80-20 principle and then award to the company who gets the highest points
It is not always the company that is in accordance with the rules here. Thank you, DG.
Thank you. DG Mela.
Thank you. Thank you very much, honorable members, DG, Minister DM. A couple of questions for program two. I think in terms of the policy review process, as I indicated, the process has started, led by the advisory panel. They are currently in consultation with numerous stakeholders and finalizing their policy proposals for ministers' consideration. So, honourable members, the quality assurance, the grading is part of the matters that they are currently considering. Once we have received the final proposals from the policy for ministers' consideration, it will also be gazetted for inputs. By the public. So we are still in process of finalizing the final outcome. But just to indicate that the quality assurance is part of the mandate, or not the mandate, the terms of reference, the options that are currently being considered. In terms of the plan for COVID, the third wave, as a sector, we've always said that we propose the opening of the sector as soon as it's safe to do so. So safety is our safety of our citizens and safety of our visitors is our first concern. And I think within the NCCC, all these together with the current measures and the protocols of distancing and washing our hands and wearing masks will be taken into consideration when we face the third wave. And I'm aware that currently these are being discussed in the different platforms and also with subcommittees within the NCCC. In terms of the outreach, how it will differ from the multilateral work, within multilateral work, we are working together, of course, with the relevant countries, whether it's within BRICS or within the SADC region, to implement a specific program and to advance our interests as a country within that program. Within our outreach programs, it is more focused on bilateral discussions. So as DG also mentioned, Minister is reaching out to specific countries, specific embassies to have discussions on specific matters that affects us both from both sides with a focus on tourism. In terms of the signed MOUs or the agreements that I spoke to that we have to sign, it is with countries that we have been that we have identified or that we have been approached by to enter into agreements specifically on the area of tourism. We have finalized our discussions with a number of countries, and what needs to happen now is for the ministers from both the countries to just sign the MOUs for it to come into effect, and we have prioritized that to be done in the current financial year. The MOUs that are ready for signature, to put a plan in place for the signing of those MOUs by the two ministers. I think those were the questions for program two. Thanks, honorable members.
Shamila?
Thank you, DG, and thank you, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, for the question. I think I want to start with the question that was broadly about the destination development initiatives and approach. The destination development initiative is to try to work in areas where there is already tourism as a key driver. And what the department tries to do is to support developments where there's already an anchor project, a tourism project, where tourism is a key economic driver, and then support further developments that enhance that destination. I'm sure members can appreciate that although we would like to work across the country, it's not always possible to do that with the limited resources that we have. So the destination development approach then is to try to focus where we can maximize our efforts as a department, working in collaboration with both the public and private sector to ensure that tourism continues to drive those specific economies. Not every area, of course, in the country is has tourism-led economic development. And so we try to focus in those areas where tourism is the key economic driver. I think within that context, there were a few questions then related to the expanded public works program. And the last one was related to how we're going to manage the previous challenges around planning, contract management and delivery. I think that what we have done this year, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members, is that we have partnered with the Development Bank of South Africa as an implementing agent. And the Development Bank of South Africa then is going to roll out all of the infrastructure related projects in line with the standards around infrastructure development. At this point, there is a detailed infrastructure project implementation plan for all of the projects that we have listed in our APP. And the team at the DBSA is at this point developing individual project implementation plans. The DBSA team is also then going to be responsible for contracting in the services of built environment professionals to both plan and to implement the projects, and will then manage those projects from on behalf of the department. I think that the important thing or challenge that we have had that will be addressed now by the work of the DBSA is that the DBSA does, of course, have built environment professionals that will be managing these infrastructure projects. So we're working very closely with the DBSA team on a plan around skills transfer to our own staff, but we do feel confident that they will be able to address some of the previous challenges that we've had and in fact complete these projects to the required specification within time and within budget. The CFO, I think, has already spoken to the budget issues around EPWP, but I think just to say that the projects that are funded through the Expanded Public Works Program, there's the data collectors project, which resides in DDG Milan's branch. Then there is the skills development and tourism monitors projects, which reside in DDG Setswana's branch. And there's the infrastructure related projects of community driven ones and the maintenance programs that reside within destination development. So that's the full scope of the work that we're doing. And the EPWP program and its policy does actually address, must in fact address youth, people with disabilities and women. And there are percentages within that. So all of these programs in these various branches then respond to the targets around youth, people with disabilities and women, all of the EPWP funded projects. With regards then to the question around how is the national, the pipeline of nationally prioritized projects different to the projects being implemented by the department, The process to develop the national pipeline was actually to invite catalytic projects from various provinces. There was a total of 81 projects that were presented to the department as possible catalytic projects that could be developed over a period of time. Most of these then required support in terms of project packaging, feasibility studies, and then matching with specific DFIs, domestic and international funders. And so what the team has then done is to work with provinces to identify those specific projects that have the highest degree of success around becoming catalytic and ensuring developments in various parts of the country. And we've been working then systematically with provinces to take these projects through feasibility, to package them properly, and to ensure that they are projects that can be matched with funders. It is very different to the work that we already have on our APP, because these are both public and private sector projects that are greenfield and brownfield, and they are being developed over a period of time. These are also projects, for example, that get taken to our investor platforms, like the South African Investment Conference, and other investor platforms that we have. So at the moment, these projects are in some ways conceptual, but we're working systematically with various project owners, both in the public and private sector, to make these projects materialize. It's a small number of catalytic projects, but we believe very important from across the country, and these have been identified then in partnership with provinces. There are many other projects which, of course, provinces and local government work on their own, but this is the agreed list that we work on at the national level. I think then, honourable members, the last question was related to the work that we're doing in the Northern Cape and what exactly those initiatives are and how they will fit into what we're doing. So if honourable members will recall, we did three master plans in the Northern Cape. This was following the work that we did on coastal and marine tourism. Those three master plans were from Port Knowledge to Hondeklip Bay, Carnarvon to Sutherland, the Orange River mouth to Beaulstrift. And within that space, there are various initiatives that were identified in these master plans. We've also been working quite closely with the Department of Science and Technology on the SKA project and a interpretation center then related to the SKA project. And we've also been working very closely with SALGA on the Karoo led initiative, which is essentially looking at creating a single tourism brand for the 26 municipalities within the Karoo. So the work that we're doing this year, honorable member, is to take some of those individual projects, which, by the way, include an air access program, into the Northern Cape. There was a study done on this by the department working with the province. And looking at how these then get infused into the district development plans for Pixley Kaseme and Namakwa districts to ensure that going forward, the practical projects that are contained in these master plans then find expression both in the one plan, but also find expression then in future budgeting and implementation for these various districts. I think tourism is not necessarily also an activity that can be contained to a single district. So the way we've been looking at the work that we're doing across the country is to in fact look at how we integrate the master plans into regional economic development. And the work that's already being done by SALGA actually assists us to be able to do that together with the district development models. I think, DG, those are all of the questions that I have, and hopefully I've responded to all of the questions that have come from honorable members. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Just to add something on that, Hatisani is It's a village in Makudu Tamaha municipality in the district of Sekhukhune. Asma Tonki.
Thank you, DG. In terms of program number four, there was a question regarding targets for youth and people with disabilities. In terms of our incubation programs, specifically the technology innovation incubator, the food services, all are targeting young people. Our EPWP skills programs and tourism monitors, in terms of the EPWP policy, only youth can participate in the skills program. And this year, we are partnering together with the implementers. We are having a bigger voice in terms of the recruitment and selection. So the intention is to ensure that people with disabilities, there's a certain percentage that is going to be reserved for them in terms of participating in all of these programs. The Educators Development Program does have a budget, but as with the presentation, members would have noticed that we are at a stage where we are engaging with our stakeholders across provinces to ensure that we are able to identify the needs. We do an analysis, and once the needs are assessed and analyzed, we should be able to quantify the budget for the program. In terms of the EPWP utilization of funds, specifically to ensure that the benefits goes to the identified beneficiaries. There is a process in the department to ensure that contract management is tightened up, and also that contract administration is very focused in terms of making sure that service providers that we are engaging or implementers does take accountability in terms of reporting on the financial performance of the programs. We are introducing, together with the CFO, a new method in terms of which we are going to cap advance payment to service providers. The contracts that we are negotiating currently, we have been able to split the budget or the line items that goes to the service provider or the implementer in terms of their fees, and also put aside the line items that is due to benefit beneficiaries, and we are keeping it in that manner so that we are not able to we will not be able to allow easy access to the project funds that are intended to beneficiaries, for service providers to be able to have that money in their accounts that easily, like it was done in the past. In terms of the work of the department on climate change, our strategy in the department with regards to climate change is guided by the white paper on a national climate change response and the national adaptation strategy. We have developed so far the National Tourism and Climate Change Response Program, which focuses on both adaptation and mitigation within the sector. We have also conducted a climate change risk and vulnerability assessment on 27 tourism attractions across the country. A three-year tourism adaptation implementation plan has also been developed, and currently we are finalizing the climate change communication plan for the sector as part of the implementation plan. In terms of what is going on in our incubation programs, members will have taken cue from the areas where we will be running our incubation program. And we have one established for MIR and for Palabora as well. And we are introducing an incubation program for community-based enterprises. We are hoping to a bigger participation from enterprises that are within villages and small dorpies. But what we do in the incubation is that we provide mainly business development and support programs to the small businesses. This includes financial management skills, how to manage their resources, like human resources. We assist them in terms of being ready to be able to comply with business rules and regulations, such as perhaps how then to go about engaging with SARS in terms of your tax certificates. And during COVID, we played a very critical role in the incubation, played a very critical role in terms of assisting the small businesses to access funds that have been made available everywhere else, including in government, for supporting businesses during COVID. That will be all from my side. Thank you.
On the matter of the potential third wave and readiness, partly from our side, we will take guidance from the NCCC. But we do believe that, as the honourable members were saying, if we see what is happening in India, it is scary. And we can only hope and pray that we do not meet the same fate. We believe that we must continue with the balance between life and livelihoods, and we will then take our guidance from the NCCC in that regard. Most importantly from our side is the aspect of compliance with the protocols, so that we are able to demonstrate the ability to operate in an environment that requires strict adherence and more cautious approach to the manner in which we are rolling out the operations. In terms of I think Didi Malan has addressed the fact that the policy review process is underway, and the panel has not as yet brought their recommendations to the minister in terms of what it is that they believe should be reconsidered or be given new consideration and so on. But suffice to say for now that matters, for instance, such as taxation and so on, those would not necessarily be matters that we've got any policy mandate on. It would be matters that are under the ambit of the Minister of Finance. The matters related to are we going to be part of once vaccinated, then one can travel. I think and at the risk of really speaking often, because we don't necessarily have expertise in this, but one of the things that we believe is important is for South Africans to reach population immunity, which then gives a sense of security for South Africans. So anyone that is then coming here would not necessarily be that big a risk, unless if they've got a whole different variant and so on, but would not be that big a risk because we would have actually immunized ourselves. I think that aspect would be a factor in terms of ultimately what then becomes a protected destination in terms of it being able to have that assurance in the levels of safety and so on. We are observing what is going on globally, developments that are taking place, whether it's the EU and what they are doing and so on with regards to these matters. I suppose we will look at what is happening globally as well, but I think it is important that the immunization of South Africans and then developing that population immunity as a country would be an important factor. The issues around, and I think the issues, Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Members, related to staff attrition and so on, we have not seen large numbers of people leaving the department. At management level, the bulk of people that have actually left the department, I wouldn't necessarily say bulk, but the number of people that have actually left the department, we have had, sadly, we lost two colleagues due to natural causes. One at DDG level and another one at the director level. We also had other colleagues that had reached retirement age and they left the organization. They retired at that particular time and so on. So we have not seen something that points to a sense of instability where people leave the organization because they are so unhappy with the organization and so on. My own discussions when I speak to the division that deals with employee health and wellness that collates information related to exit reports and people then indicate different reasons and so on and their own feelings with regards to their stay in the department and so on. We have not really experienced those sense of negativity. We do interact and I'm also talking at a level of the political leadership in the organization. There's interaction across the organization with the staff and so on. So it allows for people to be able to also raise their issues and so on, and that allows for intervention where we see issues and so on timely, so that we are able to ensure that we are all moving towards the common direction. Of course, there will be instances where democratic leadership style is not necessarily always going to be able to bear fruit, and in such instances, then we need to ensure that we pursue approaches that will instill discipline in the organization, and that we then do, and we do it consistently. The matters around balancing between tourism development as well as marketing, I think it's going to be a long-term challenge for us. We're a small budget department. We've got quite a lot of needs. We could catalyze quite a lot of development, quite a lot of economic activity. But unfortunately, the kind of budget that we have confines us. And we have to be out there in the entire world, making sure that the message goes through. We've got to make sure that that message is well informed in terms of the analytics that we run from data point of view and all those. All of these things would cost a significant amount of money. So this is why I indicated the need for us to continuously look at efficiencies to be able to maximize on the small budget that we've got. But that attention would always be there in terms of how do we appropriate between development and marketing. And we can do with a bit more resources in that regard. The TEF, there won't be an opportunity as of now yet to be able to say what has been the success. Our view is that at the moment, as honourable members may be aware, we have been ordered by the courts to keep on hold matters pertaining to implementation until court processes associated with the TEF are concluded. We will be guided by the outcome of the court, and once that outcome of the court comes, that which we are supposed to do, then we will do. And we can then only speak about the success or otherwise only after implementation of the program. The Tourism Transformation Fund, yes, we have seen some good successes. I will state one specific example, the Graskop Gorge Lift. That is something that is a product that was funded from that particular facility. There are other products in that regard that have actually been funded from them. So yes, it has actually seen a success. I think there has been an indication with regards to what we are doing specifically regarding green climate change and responsible. But amongst other things, the work that we're doing around the tour operators incubator, that has got something to do with responsible tourism as well, because responsible tourism has got a leg that speaks to communities and our communities are also able to access the value chain. So there is a green path pure that would speak to issues of energy, issues of water management, and all of that we are actually doing with the Green Incentive Fund. So it deals with all those aspects. But when we come to the community aspects, there are a number of activities there as well that we are actually dealing with. I suppose the TERS question from Honorable Winkler, I think it's something that is not within our mandate, and I would leave that question for the principals. Domestic tourism, yes, indeed, it is the backbone. All these other activities that we are supposed to be doing in terms of intergovernmental, we continue to do that. But I wish to state that there are three that we have actually prioritized in as far as the recovery plan is concerned. So that will be issues of e-visas, and that will also be the issues of safety, as well as issues around transportation to operators, aviation and so on. So those are the ones that we have actually prioritized. And of course, given the environment we are in, we need to actually prioritize. So there may be other things that need to be worked on and so on, but we do believe that for tourism to succeed, as is with many other sectors, it's an environment that requires that everyone play their role. Municipalities, they have a direct mandate when it comes to keeping those beaches in pristine conditions and so on. So that's something that is expected. Municipal roles must be maintained. Provincial roles must be maintained to be able to gain access to these facilities and so on. Where we are able to intervene, for instance, working with the provinces and working with these national parks and so on, where we are making sure that we have a proper upkeep of the facilities so that we don't have a collapse of that specific type of infrastructure, then we do so. But like I said, the resources are of course the thing that would always be a little bit of a hindrance in terms of how far we can be able to succeed. In terms of where do we play, I think DG Chetia spoke to this a bit, and also DG Sitwana also spoke to this. But in the main, our programs are focused on villages. If you look at almost all our infrastructure type projects, they would be either in a village or outskirts of a small town and so on. We don't have many things that would be in any of the big cities, so to say. But at the same time, we also have a lot of work that relates to the skills would be youth that are coming from the townships and so on. If honorable members have followed some of the graduation activities, they would have seen that most of these graduation activities actually take place in some of these small towns. They take place in some townships and so on. And it is because the bulk of these people that are participating, these youth participating in the programs, are actually coming from those particular areas. The question that was raised by honorable debaters on what are we doing for small businesses. I think there is a part in terms of business development that was raised by what that was stated by DDG Strava, and particularly targeting women-owned businesses. And we talked about 225 of those businesses and so on. But at the same time, it is important to state that our initial support mechanism actually went specifically to small businesses. Now, I also want to just clarify this part, because what we are doing with the TEF is not a relief mechanism. It's not a relief mechanism. It's an equity fund. So there's got to be that distinction. So if there is something that we have done in light of COVID to provide support, it actually went to small businesses. And the 200 million, all of it actually went to small businesses. And each of those businesses were able to get 50,000 rand, and 4,000 businesses benefited out of it. So that's how far we could go, and this is really because of the constraints in relation to the resources that the department has as at its disposal, and the priorities that it has got to cover using the same resources. The last one was the question regarding the broader question that was asked by Honorable Maxwell regarding the third parties and the implementation of targets, and how the relationship and how that played out in the past and how we see this playing out in the future. We vet our partners, and I need to state that in most instances, those partners where we find that we are delayed and so on are not necessarily outside government system. They are largely within the government system. We vet our partners, and as we do so, we find everything is okay. Then we go into implementation. It is at that point of implementation that certain things start to show signs that they are not actually moving at that requisite speed. This is where I emphasize the issue of awareness about contracts when it comes to people from our side who are managing those contracts, but also the enforcement of the requirements that the contract provides for, so that at the end of the day, we are not in a position where we would almost find ourselves helpless, we are able to intervene using those particular instruments. But with all said, the challenges that sometimes come up may even go to a point where it necessitates that the relationship has to be terminated. And in those instances, when it gets terminated, we have no choice but to go back and restart the process. And those delays would then arise. So we will continue to manage this, but it is important that in some degree of assurance that I'm providing, I do provide it with a bit of caution to say, in a project management environment, there will be instances where certain things will not necessarily go the way that we had planned. But we have to minimize those instances. And part of that vetting I was talking about, part of it is escalation and so on. So those are critical and very significant issues to be dealt with. And that's the kind of approach that we will be taking as we go forward. The question that was raised by Honorable Gomba on the issue of targets that may not have been met and whether those targets have found themselves in the APP. At the moment, I wouldn't want to say that, let me put it this way, Honorable Chairperson. When we finish the year, we, after concluding the year, we then put together the annual report as an account of what the year actually was able to give us. Once we have got that account, we then must take that account through a management verification process first. We then take it through an internal auditing process to confirm whether the claims by management are legitimate or not. And once we have finished that, it will then be submitted to the AG. And the books are only due to the AG on the 30th of May. Once the 31st of May, when we have finished that particular process, the AG then audits and so on, they may still come back and say, some of the things you are stating here and the evidence you've provided to us don't tally. Now, if I say we have achieved this or we have not achieved this at this point in time, there's a much greater risk that I might not be stating facts for real. And I think it will be, when we bring the annual report, it will be clear these are things that we've been able to do and so on. Suffice to say that projects, there are quite a number of projects, as honorable members would most likely recall from the previous year. There are quite a number of projects that are year on year, and they are like continuing, even though there will be new groups coming, particularly when we're dealing with issues of skills development and so on, new people coming, and then there will be a completion of those, they graduate, another group comes and so on. So there will be such types of programs that maybe in the previous financial year, we may not have concluded everything, but they still continue on their own. But I do think that this is the kind of account we will be able to give when those processes have been concluded. And I'm just submitting that, Honorable Chairperson, to say we are not yet at a point where we don't risk misleading yourselves as the Honorable Members of Parliament. We need to be able to give you information that has been properly verified and it is factual, so that we don't mislead you. I will stop at that and hand over to the PM. Thank you.
Hello, DM and Adetara.
No, thank you very much.
Honorable
Chairperson.
There's a hand here from Ntatemuteka. Ntatemuteka. Sorry, DM.
Yes.
Network ya gana Ntatemuteka.
I have a follow-up question, DDG.
Okay.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, we are on that.
Yes.
I have a follow-up question because the response from DDG Shamila raised some more questions. So what I want to ask, Chairperson, is that my question was very clear when asking for the specific place in Pixley, because this is an annual performance plan. So it is a plan. It's not a far-fetched question. It's a plan. So they know already what they're going to do in Pixley and where. Pixley has got eight municipalities. So it's very clear to see in Karibberg or in Tangier or wherever. So, and what will be done? So that can help us when we do our oversight. And again, I want to thank the DG for coming in and answer the one of Radisana. Radisana is just six kilometers from where I am. So oversight will be very easy. Same thing I was asking about Pixley and Namakwa. We know in Namakwa, the main city there is Springbok. In Pixley, the main city there is DR. So it can be difficult to answer where the plan is going to be implemented and so that we can follow up and do the oversight. Thanks, Chairperson.
Okay, Dr. Tarase.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I will give that to DDG Chetia.
Thank you very much, DG. I don't have a list of the very specific initiatives, Honorable Mateka. The APP target is, of course, to incorporate the initiatives into the Tourism Spatial Master Plan. And as I said, that's contained in the detail of the master plans for Fort Nollet, Tohonder Klipaai, Carnarvon to Sutherland, Orange River Mouth, and Fjordstrip. I think that we can provide those very specific initiatives to the portfolio committee, perhaps in writing. Thank you very much, DG.
Okay, thank you very much, Mechetti. The Deputy Minister, Bravish Ngakubaba.
No, thanks. No. The DG has tried to be very extensive in the responses of the issues that members have raised. So just to emphasize the point that most of the projects that we are implementing, especially the skills development one, it's mainly targeting, it's not mainly, it's all targeting young people. So youth are at the center of our skills development project and program. In terms of the rural areas and townships, most of these young people, as the DG has indicated, are recruited mainly, if not all, from the townships and from the rural areas. And then the community based tourism project. All of them, if not all, most of them, if not all, are in the rural areas and in the townships, basically. That includes most of our incubators. They are mainly situated in the rural areas. For example, we have got Manulete Incubator. It's in the deep rural areas. We've got Parabola Incubator. It's in the deep rural areas. We've got Mir, which is also in the Northern Cape. So those are mainly in the rural areas and in the townships, which this development is taking place. And then the
the EPWP employment, as Honorable Stolis requested, on a quarterly basis, we do give the targets. And I'm sure after the compilation of the annual report, you will have a detailed picture of how many opportunities were created in the last financial year. And in the APP, we are proposing a particular number of opportunities that will be created through EPWP in this financial year. The infrastructure, as the DG has indicated, are mainly implemented in the townships and in the rural areas, because most of our parks, national parks, where we are assisting in revamping the infrastructure, they're mainly located within the rural communities. And the memorandum of understanding with SANPARK was that when they sort out the service providers, they will do so, making sure that the surrounding communities are the beneficiaries of these initiatives. So we, for example, in relation to the last month, we have launched a pilot project in the Eastern Cape, which is a pilot project that focuses in the townships and in the rural areas of basic quality verification program, which is home stays, which we want to make sure that all the home stays that are being initiated in the townships and in the rural areas are upgraded to further this quality assurance into them. So we're working with SAT to make sure that happens. We've launched a project of travel with purpose, where we've gone to all the 9 provinces and had workshops with all SMEs and provided them with opportunities that are there, train them, and also make sure that they are registered into Google, and so that their businesses are able to be marketed throughout. So there's a lot of work that is being done to assist SMEs in the process so that they're able to develop them accordingly. So we, as on a quarterly basis, as you will be expected, we'll be able to provide a details in terms of progress and that we're making in relation to make sure that we revive tourism and address the issues of the townships, rural communities, and small dorpies, and make sure that is equal beneficiation and inclusivity of the products that are being made available. So it's work in progress. If you look at all the projects that you will see in the plans, most of them you will realize that they are in one form or another located within the townships, the rural areas, the small dorpies of one form or another. Maybe what would be needed going forward is to say, when you say Numbi, a gate project, maybe elaborate what are the villages around Numbi, because the name Numbi looks not African, but all the areas around there, those are rural areas and are traditional institutions that will be beneficiaries to the end. So some of the names might not be able to explicitly reflect that it is a rural area or it is a township. Maybe those are some of the things that as you conduct oversight, you will be able to see them practical, say this is where these projects are located, and be able therefore to see the extent to which we are trying our best to make sure that the approach that the committee has adopted, we are living up to it at the end. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Chair. Thanks for DM leading the process together with the team. Just two things from my side. The first one, there was a question about me giving assurance in terms of the department's capacity to be able to deliver. Where we've had vacancies, honorable members, we've made, especially within the available resources. For example, we had a vacancy of a DDG. We've already filled it. That's why you have DDG Sidwabe here. We have a vacancy of DDG Corporate Services. We've already done the interviews and almost are ready to go to cabinet. So I can assure that from a leadership point of view, we ensure that we close the gap. There are no vacancies that would lead long in terms of having people acting and therefore not taking accountability. But the acting DDG has been doing quite good as well, assisting us in making sure that we keep corporate services as the engine of our department running. So quite a number of our issues, the DG as well overseeing, the DDGs working together. So we have a collective of team in terms of management in the department, ensuring that they run and we are able to achieve. I mean, if you look at the department compared to the fact that we've been highly affected by COVID-19, and you look at the work that we have tangibly done between ourselves as the executive authority, the deputy minister in the work that he does going out into the provinces, and the SMS members, especially at top management, you'd be assured that there is focus in terms of ensuring that we service the country, we service the people of South Africa. The second area that I want to respond to, Chair, that I thought it's more around what we are doing. The first one, the issues around CARES. CARES is under Minister Nglesi, so it's not decided upon by Department of Tourism. Though we have discussions at NETLAC, we have discussions at NCCC, I sit in those discussions, and there are various areas, that's why you could see last time with the extension. We do believe that when we looked at the statistics in during the time of Easter, we've seen some level of recovery, especially for domestic tourism. And what DM was emphasizing is that if you look across, those properties and the businesses that have repositioned themselves to be able to respond to the domestic market have been able to see a benefit out of that, and their cash flows are starting to see. I mean, I was listening to SAFM, where callers were saying, we were sold 60% of the staff are back, 50% or something. So we're starting to see the level of recovery. The last point, Chair, I think maybe what we could do, we have released the tourism sector recovery plan, which is out in our website, is in detail. We can have just a specific discussion. But when you go into that tourism sector, we did release it in public and we did a media briefing. If you go into it, it tells you about strategic interventions by the department. It tells you about the enablers. So I think Honorable Winter was talking about things that would have been on the sideline in terms of not directly in the department. When you look at the tourism sector recovery, you'll see that it addresses those things. And that's why precisely we emphasize that it needed to be approved by cabinet, because it has impact to other sectors. We need other departments and other role players to support us and assist us in terms of doing the work. So those are just few things that I needed to cover, but I do believe the team led by the GM have been able to do a fantastic job. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, Usma Moloku, and our Honorable Minister, the Deputy Minister, the collective of the department, the Portfolio Committee. Now I just want to say one thing before we part ways today. I wish the rest of the departments that are working with you, Honorable Minister, can understand that one of the areas where we can quickly resuscitate the economy and create jobs, particularly create entrepreneurs, is in tourism. I'll make an example with one department because I don't want to take your time. I hope one day it can come into our minds that the Department of Human Settlement, for instance, if I'm a beneficiary of an RDP house, I could be allowed to make a presentation to government and say, I am still prepared to struggle and stay in a mukuku. What I want to do is that my house that is going to be built, before even it's constructed, I must be given an opportunity to explain how I want that house to become a guest house, how I want it to become a B&B, so that when the plan of the house is done from the outset, but in the context of the amount allocated for an RDP house, it can then be such that it will accommodate my aspirations as a future entrepreneur in the tourism business. It means I will be staying in my mukuku, but the house will then become a B&B in a village, in a township, in an informal settlement. It will start generating capital. And that capital, I can then use it on my own to build my own house and still sustain that B&B. I just wish that one day, those of us who deal with policy in government, we can do, you know, introduce necessary flexibility into some of the regulations that we develop, that govern, for instance, how we build houses. I'm just making one example. It has got nothing to do with you, Minister. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. It's just something that has been going through my mind, and I'm not saying you must do anything with it. I know that you'll not be able to persuade everybody in that particular direction. So I'm just making an example that within the existing resources in the state, we can, if we bring our minds together, just use what is existing to approach the challenge we face differently, instead of looking for new additional money. But I want to thank you, Minister, your collective, the Deputy Minister, Ndade Charak, and your collective of Rivocrats, our Rivocrats from the Portfolio Committee, our frontline troopers in oversight, which is the members of the parliament who are in this particular committee for this engagement. I think it takes us further. South Africans who have been part of the engagement, I hope you have benefited from this interaction and the fact that gradually the department is beginning to say we must go where poverty is. And that poverty is embedded in the villages, in the townships, in the informal settlement, in the small towns. And one day, will triumph against this embeddedness of poverty in those particular areas. Thank you very much. Siyabonga. Takenza.
Kenzile Chair.
Siyabonga Chair, Supranomics.
Thank you very much, Honorable Members Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Supriyolo.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson.